In episode 40 of Upon Further Review, opinions are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the people who come up with opinions and the people who disagree with them. These are their stories. Okay, Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And welcome to episode number 40 of Upon Further Review. 40 shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat. We're going to be coming up on a year not too long from now, although because we haven't been able to do exactly one show every week, it's going to be, you know, so I think we'll probably just celebrate the date maybe more than the number of shows, I would say. I mean, you know, our 50th show might be a big deal. I don't know. We'll talk about that. But
okay.
But yeah, so we want to say hello to everyone out there. And this is the last show that we're going to be doing from the United States for about 10 days, which is a weird way of putting that. But
Clea
and I...
quite odd.
Yeah, a little bit strange. Well, the idea is that we're going to be going to Norway. Clea and I are leaving for Norway in a couple of days because I have an academic conference in the city of Bergen in Norway. And Clea has, as per usual, planned an exceptional trip for us. We're actually flying into Oslo and then enjoying the sights and sounds of Norway as we take our own private train car. I don't know about the rest of that, but we're going to be actually going across Norway, and we have recently gotten a new video camera to be able to record Clea's comedy routines and my band shows and things like that. And so we're bringing it with us, and our hope is that we're going to be able to do a video show while we're out in Norway. I'm going to have my laptop with me, you know. I assume that there is relatively easy internet access in places like that, but if
it's
not...
a pretty sophisticated country, I would hope so.
I would hope so, but if not, I mean, we'll at least have the footage, and when we get back, then we'll be able to post it at that point. So, okay. Next show, I have a feeling, is going to be Norwegian-themed, right? You know,
probably.
Norwegian salmon, Norwegian, I don't know, lots of Norwegian
shrimp.
Things. Shrimp.
Hiking,
what
fjords.
What else is uniquely... Yeah, fjords. See? We'll be reviewing fjords.
I'm sure we'll review fjords.
What would be the best way to get people to... How about fjords? That's a great
that
idea.
That will draw people in like no one's business.
That is ratings gold, let me tell you. Ratings gold. So we'll be doing that soon. So if any of our listeners out there are from Norway, please let us know. Let us know if you've got a spare bed for us to crash
on. Oh, yeah,
on.
That'd be good. We could save some money. Yeah. I mean, see you. That'd be nice.
I mean, we'd love to see you. Right, exactly. But this week, we've got three of our more standard things to review. And I want to thank Mike again for sending some of that information to us, because he actually gave us some more ideas for a review.
He's just an idea generator.
He and Chris, man. And yeah. Chris is the other guy who makes comments on all of our shows. I think he's up to show 13. So far, he hasn't said, boy, guys, this show is terrible. I mean, this guy is committed. So hi to Chris and Mike and all of our fans out there. Oh, and I also want to say congratulations again to Drummond Elected, who confirmed that indeed they had, in fact, had a child and has changed our name. He was saying that he really appreciated all the work that Beyond Further Review had done. So I was like, well, it's a pawn for the reviews. Like, oh, I'll change that. So anyway, so that's cool. And we want to thank him for listening and doing all that kind of stuff. He's a Mets fan too, so clearly can't be too bad a guy. If he was a Yankees fan, that's another issue, but as a Mets fan, he's fine. Okay, so three things that we've got on the docket for tonight. We're going to start by reviewing a show that Clea actually couldn't believe we hadn't reviewed this.
I'm really surprised we haven't reviewed this yet.
Because it's one of our, both Clea's and mine, very favorites, and it's basically my favorite show that's on television right now, maybe with the exception of Boston Legal, but I'd say this show maybe is probably a bit above it, and that is Law and Order. So we're going to start by reviewing that show, which is now in its 18th season. It's the second longest running TV show behind Gunsmoke, which ran for 20 years. So they're trying, the producer has said he wants to get it at least to that 20-year mark, so we're going to review that. Then we're going to move on to review, a couple weeks ago we reviewed the Nintendo Wii, but I've now had a chance to play enough, although not enough, but you know what I mean, at least get a sense of the game Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess for the Nintendo Wii, and I wanted to give you guys a little in-depth review on what that's all about, because that really starts to show off a little bit of what the Wii can do. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to finish with a review of the city of Seattle, and that comes straight from Mike, who wanted to, apparently he's moving with his fiance to Seattle, congratulations by the way,
he didn't say why,
on being engaged. Yeah, he was just like to run away from other cities, I don't know, he didn't say. I don't know, but anyway, he's moving to Seattle, and he knew that since Clea is from Seattle originally, that she wouldn't have anything to say about it, and I would have lots to say,
right,
because of my extensive, no, I'm just kidding,
right.
So we will review the city of Seattle as well.
Okay.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
So we're going to start with Law
and
Order.
Maybe we didn't review Law and Order because we've not really watched this most recent season at all.
Well, that's because we can't catch up because we're on season 6 in the DVDs.
No, or something that's like not that. Why. It's that we can't kind of get into it.
Yeah.
I think ever since Orbach.
Yeah, since Orbach passed away.
We haven't really gotten back into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, up until this last season, we were pretty into it, and we are acquiring all of the DVD sets, which they're up to 6.
I think,
right,
actually,
now,
no, the
up to 8.
5. No, 5.
I think they're up to 6.
No.
Yeah, it's available.
Really?
I told you that.
Awesome. I really like these DVDs. I know that they did something weird where they released season 1, 2, 3, and then they're like, season 14. And what?
Oh, they did.
Yeah, and then then everyone was like, that's dumb. And they're like, you're right, back to season 4 or 5, 6. So I don't know, maybe that was building up some interest. But Law and Order,
for a while we were really pissed because they had, you know, Alias already out, like all seasons out.
I know, they had all these terrible shows. Like,
well, I don't know, say terrible.
One Tree Hill. I was like, oh, why is there a DVD of this? This show should have been burned. Like, why would you even put this show on there?
You're going to want to say that. I'm just saying more recent
well, I do.
Shows that are like still current. They had their DVDs.
Yes.
They didn't have
They practically just finished the season when they had them
right.
out. That's true.
Right.
Well, part of the reason Law and Order has been on my mind lately, and the other reason I thought about it for tonight, was because Fred Thompson, who is the district attorney on Law & Order right now, he's kind of the conservative, you know, right-wing district attorney, which is actually how Fred Thompson was in real life. He was a senator before. He's actually seriously considering running for president, and I read a thing today that said that he's basically decided chances are very good he's not going to come back and mm-hmm. to the show, which suggests he's going to run for president. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the Law & Order camp. For those of you who don't know what the show is about, basically this is an hour-long show. And it consists of two basic parts. The first part is the police part of the show, where there's a murder, or usually a murder, but sometimes other things. There's an attack or an assault or something like that. Some crime has been committed. And the first half hour of the show is dedicated to tracking down the victim, tracking down the suspect about who actually did it. And they'll normally throw in some red herrings. So for that part of the show, there's forensic evidence, there's investigation, there's this whole bunch of stuff. Then once that part of the show is over, the second half of the show consists of the order part, which is the trying to put them in jail, you know,
lawyers,
actually putting
the
them up, the court system, the trial part, which is my favorite part. That's my favorite part of it. But I like the fact that both sort of halves of it kind of blend into each other. And each half of the show has its parallel characters. So in the first part, you have the two policemen, the two detectives who are doing their job, and one lieutenant who's their boss. And those detectives have rotated. The most famous of them, was Clea said, was Jerry Orbach, who was on the show for a number of years and then left the show, and then soon thereafter passed away tragically, which was really sad. He was a very, very good guy and a very good actor. And then the second half of the show has the assistant district attorney, who has been played by only two people in the entire length of the show. Was originally a guy named Michael Moriarty, was the first 4 years, I think. And then since that time, it's been played by a guy named Sam Waterston, who's a well-known actor as well. And then they've gone through a series of assistant DAs, sort of assistants to the assistant. And then there is their boss, who's the actual district attorney. And I think there have been, if I'm not mistaken, three of those. The first one is a guy whose character name was Adam Schiff. I can't remember what his actor's name was. And then Diane Veist, I believe, is how you pronounce the name.
Yeah.
She was there for a year or two. And then this guy, Fred Thompson, who's now going to be leaving the show. So what's interesting about that part, though, is that all of these characters, even when they cycle in and out, the show itself has continued.
Right.
And they've somehow managed to make it so that you like the characters, they have a personality, they have a story to them, and yet their story is really always sort of minimal to what's going on in the episode. But
right.
you sort of get to know them anyway in some strange kind of way.
Right. It's never an instance where you have to know the characters to be able to enjoy the show. That's usually just a sideline. Even if something going on with the characters is major, there still will be enough going on in the show that you know exactly what's going on.
Right.
So it's not a show that you can't just jump right into at all. But also, speaking about the different actors that have been in it, a lot of the supporting roles and side roles and a lot of the extras are repeat actors. Like, there's
right,
a lot
right.
of actors that just...
They have, like, recurring characters.
No, not recurring characters. They're recurring actors. They come back as different
people. Oh, that's
people.
Right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And it works. It works really well.
Yeah.
But if you are familiar with Law and Order, if you've been watching a while, you'll see someone, you'll say, I remember that guy. He did that, played another character. And it doesn't ruin it for you, but it's just kind of cool to think that there are actors that they just are recurring with Law and Order, and they'll get different parts depending upon kind of what they're doing.
But that's become
and they're not
the joke,
there every
you know.
Week. It's kind of like once a year or something
yeah.
to come back.
But that's become the joke, you know, on Broadway. You read these credits and they're like, da da da, Law and Order. Like
yeah.
every actor has a Law and Order credit because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
And obviously, and they film on location in New York. So because of that, all of these Broadway actors end up getting these roles in them. I knew actually had a student in one of my classes who was in a role in a Law and Order episode, which is kind of neat.
I had a guy I used to go to high school with.
Who's in Law and Order?
Who's in a Law and Order episode?
Neat.
Yeah.
And by the way, we should have mentioned this before. You can find this. The webpage is www.nbc.com/law_and_order.
But not and, just the symbol.
Symbol for and. Yes.
When the show first came out, it was kind of what most people now know as the ER. Although they might not even know it now because ER has been out for a long time. But
yeah.
when ER came out, suddenly the applications to medical schools shot up. The same thing happened when
yeah.
Law and Order came out. I was actually younger then, so I just remember hearing about it. I wasn't watching the show at that time, but I remember hearing about the kind of phenomenon where Law and Order came out and suddenly applications to law schools skyrocketed. So it was a big deal when it first came out, and there was nothing anything like it. It was completely new on television.
Right.
Since then, now there's been 50 million spinoffs that seem to have happened mainly just over the last five,
a lot of them,
yes,
Special
years.
Victims Unit. Criminal Intent, and I know that I was they actually just renewed this, as I said, for an 18th season, and I know that they've put one or two of the spinoffs are going to go to USA now, but they're going to be new ones. They're not going to make them you know, they're not syndicated or anything. They're actually starting new uh-huh. on USA with some of these things. So, but there are maybe like yeah three or four spinoffs. There's Trial by Jury, isn't that another one? But there are a lot of spinoffs.
I don't even know if that. Well, I guess maybe that's just off season right now.
Might be. I mean, personally, Clea, I think likes, and my mom, I think also like Special Victims Unit. I've always, yeah. I still prefer the original. I've always liked the original better than the
others.
I've never
really been able to get into
reason.
The other ones. I mean, some of the CSIs, I don't mind, but Criminal Intent, is that the one around sexual abuse?
No, that's Special Victims Unit. Special Victims Unit is the one where it's like assault.
That one, I think I've watched a few times,
yeah.
and I don't mind the characters
that's
in that
okay.
one. There was this one other one where the guy's just a really bad actor.
That's Criminal Intent.
Yeah,
the
no,
guy's
I,
a
I
real,
don't like that one.
He's a clown, yeah. The funny thing is about this show, I think one of the reasons that it's had such good staying power is their thing is they talk about stories ripped from the headlines.
And they
so
really
they,
are.
And they are. I mean, they'll take things that have happened, you know, in the current system, and obviously there's always a rotation. You know, they normally film these things, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks in advance?
Uh-huh.
But within that time span, I mean, they had a couple of 9/11 terrorist cases that showed up there maybe 3, 4 months afterwards.
Not this Law and Order, but I think one of the spinoff Law and Orders just did an Anna Nicole.
Oh, did it really?
Thing, yeah.
So yeah, so they do these things, and then it's funny because they always have, you know, the story you're about to see is entirely fictional. You're like, right? Totally, we didn't get this from anywhere, you know. But that's one of the things that makes it appealing. And of course, as Clea said, the nice thing is you can sit down. You can, in our case, we have the DVD set, as I said, so you can pop it in, or you can turn on TNT, which is basically the Law and Order channel, and you can watch a couple of episodes, and you can pick them up from anywhere because,
yeah.
for the most part, there's only a few back to back episodes. Ones where they did
right.
say two episodes at a time. Most of the time it's just one episode and you're in and you're out and
right.
that's
and
it.
And since it's ripped from headlines, it is dealing with issues that are really important.
Abortion, gun control.
And overall, I think it takes a little bit of a liberal stance, but there's enough diversity in the characters that you get, I think, a breadth of points of view and not stupidly.
No.
I think you actually get to hear the breadth of points of view articulated quite well.
Yep.
And so I think it presents issues fairly well
and it reflects
humanity fairly well.
I agree. It reflects the current political situation too.
Right.
You know, the fact that the DA right now is more conservative.
Right.
That reflected at the time the fact that when they first started doing it, the DA was more, you know,
yeah.
the state was more conservative.
Right.
The first part of the show, New York State didn't have the death penalty. In the middle of the show, it got the death penalty, so that came into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So it does reflect that. But I agree. I think it does try to communicate different sides of the equation. I mean, for example, Boston Legal, a show which Clea and I like a lot, very clearly liberal bias. I'm glad about that because I think so many things are conservatively biased on TV, but I would never claim that it's super balanced. It's not. Whereas Law and Order, I think, really does try to do a good job at trying
right.
to keep it organized. So.
Right.
And besides, it means you end up rooting for the state a lot of the times, which is...
It's interesting.
The other thing is that they don't always win, and I find
no.
that interesting, too. There are times when they... I mean, these guys are really good prosecutors, really good
right.
lawyers, but there's times when they lose, and
right.
and you're just left feeling, wow. Or there's times when you don't agree with them and you uh-huh. feel that they shouldn't have done what they did, or they mm-hmm. shouldn't have gone after somebody, or right. and they pretty much don't shy away from those things. They just sort of leave it there for you to decide what do you think about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty neat. And I don't know what to say about the quality of the you know, there have been a number of good actors who have passed through them. In fact, Jesse Martin, who's one of the current cops, was a Broadway actor. Jerry Auerbach, as I mentioned, was a Broadway actor. Sam Waterston was an actor. So a lot of them have that kind of a background. And it's interesting to see, you know, the way that they act differently. You know, on the show, somebody like Jerry Auerbach, who's a song and dance man, you know, but he's not going to be doing song and dance as a policeman. So he just came
well,
on there.
Well, yeah, he did other movies, too. Most people know him from Dirty Dancing.
Right, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, just sort of listening to him doing singing yeah. things after I was used to him as a detective, I was like, what? You know. So
it's definitely neat. A show. If you've always heard of it and never actually watched it, it's definitely worth watching. Or at least the first 17 seasons, since we can't speak too much of the last season. But it seems to be going strong, and I don't hear anything saying that it's going downhill.
Yeah, so. The ratings dropped a little bit when they put it to Friday night, because every show drops in their ratings when they put it yeah. to Friday night. So they've said that they're going to start it. They've renewed it, as I say, and they're going to start it on Sunday again, because they okay. decided they're not going right. to, you know, give it the death time slot anymore. So, but okay. a very good show. I think it's intelligent. It's well done, and I think it's and thought provoking, and right. that's kind of what you want. And as I say, go look for the seasons if you want the DVD seasons. I like Waterston as the lawyer, but Moriarty is also really good, and there's some really good episodes with him that you can see if you get the earlier seasons. You can get them from Amazon and things like that. So it's worth checking out. Mm-hmm. As far as a rating, I would probably rate this an 8 out of 10, I would say.
8's fine, yep.
Okay, so an 8 out of 10 for Law & Order. Okay, next on the docket for tonight is the game The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. And you can find this, we'll give you the IGN page. This is, I think, the Something Gaming Network. I can't remember, but IGN's very good. So it's http://wii.ign.com. And then once you get there, search for Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
because it's weird. Twilight Princess, remember, it came out for two systems. It came out for the Nintendo GameCube, which is the old system, and the Nintendo Wii. You want to look for the one that's for the Nintendo Wii, because that's the one that uses the new console that we've reviewed before.
Mm-hmm. So this is not the Zelda of past, where it's a little square figure with a little, like, bow and arrow.
Clea's trying to minimize one of the great video games
running
ever.
Around in a little maze.
This is from my childhood.
I'm sorry, I just could not get into it.
It was awesome. Your guy had a little Italian plumber running around the
maze.
He
had a hammer.
Yeah.
And he got
my
to
guy
jump
had a sword.
Over barrels.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, as Clea has suggested, this is part of a franchise which has lasted a long time. I think the first one came out in 1986, shortly after the Nintendo itself, and was particularly cool because it had battery backup in the cartridge. So you could actually save it, and you turn it back on, it was still there. It was really crazy. And it was a gold cartridge, too.
Yeah.
It was
so
incredible.
So, I mean, the graphics on this is obviously...
Yeah.
Of the times, and is quite gorgeous. And so with it then is the plot and the breadth of the characterization.
Yep.
It is quite pretty.
Yep. And that's saying, and as I said, Clea is not, it wasn't a huge fan, but she really has enjoyed this, actually. There's like looking at this, and it's not yeah. that boring and all.
Right.
One of the things that's different about this particular one, The Legend of Zelda, I won't get into the plot, but essentially you take on the role of a character called Link, I rename him, but who basically, his job in the initial one was to reunite the 9 pieces of this thing called the Triforce, so as to help the princess. Not particularly shocking that someone's helping a princess, but it's become more and more complex. And this particular game, the Twilight Princess part refers to the fact that there are two worlds. There's a Twilight world, which is ruled by someone whose name I can't remember, who wants to bring his Twilight world to the world of light, where this character Link lives. And when you're in the dark world, you basically you tend to be transformed into your Twilight form, which happens to be a wolf. So one of the things that's interesting is that half of this game involves you being transformed into the part of a wolf, where you have unique abilities and skills that you don't have when you're Link wandering around with your sword and your bow and arrow and all that other kind of stuff. And the thing about Zelda is, what it comes down to is there are so many different ways to do a particular thing that it really creates a system where you develop your own style. So it's more individualized in that way. You know, do you want to kill something by using a boomerang and then by using your sword to kill it and then by digging in the ground as a wolf to find what it left behind? You know what I mean? Or do you want to just attack it directly? Do you want to run away by, you know, using your hawk eyesight? So there's a lot of different items and objects along with your ability to turn into a wolf form, which can make your own experience of the game unique to you in the way that you would like to play. And I think that, along with the Nintendo Wii controller, which is, you know, is motion sensitive, the fact how you choose to swing your sword, how you choose to use your boomerang, all those different things that you can do with the Wii controller really adds to that effect, I've found.
And it's not an instance where you turn into your wolf form and you become weaker. That can happen. I think we talked about that with Prince of Persia, where it can become frustrating if half the time you're a different form and you hate that form.
And in this
and he did in that
terrible.
And in this instance, it's really not the case. You're quite strong. You're quite agile, and you're quite able to fight.
Yep.
So it doesn't really. And there's a whole other development to your character that happens when you're in wolf form too, which is quite pretty.
Right. Which is really interesting. And the
I shouldn't say pretty. People aren't going to like that, are they? They're going to say, pretty, I'm not going to go get a...
Powerful and manly and testosterone-driven and makes you want to punch walls. I don't know.
But like a wolf.
Like a wolf would, a punching wall. But, I mean, it's an excellent point that Clea makes. And I think always the measure for me of what a really good game is for me is how good is the story? How much does the story involve me? And... you know, in this case, it's not like this story is super, I've never heard of anything like this before. It's not like that. But when you put it together with how you go through and live the story, I think that makes a real difference. One of the things I find amusing is one of my other favorite games is a game called Metroid, which was also for Nintendo, and which is a space, sort of a science fiction-y type of game. In the game that I played that was Metroid, that was on the Nintendo GameCube, there were two worlds, a light world and a dark world. And in one world,
yeah,
does that sound at all familiar?
Thing, yeah.
So there's some things that they do that are the same. But the key is, you know, is it a good story? It is. And how is it executed? And thus far, I've gotten, you know, I've gotten relatively well into it, although I haven't had a chance to play it because I've been finishing grading and that sort of thing over the last few weeks. But it has been really enjoyable to play through it. And that ultimately is the best measure of a game. Is it enjoyable? Is it intuitive? And is the story compelling? And those things are definitely true in this particular case. So I have been very impressed with it. I still don't think, since it originally was a GameCube game, I still don't think that they've figured out how to do everything with the Nintendo Wii controllers yet, but they're getting there, and this shows you, it's almost like you get a glimpse of what they'll be able to do when they get this all done.
Right.
This is a game that if you have a Nintendo Wii, you should get, because it will definitely give you a sense of what the controller is ultimately going to be able to do. And so I recommend it highly. This game to me is probably, I want to say, a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Not a 10, but it's a 9 out of 10 because of what it is that it's trying to do. You know, it's probably, like, if I could give it an 8.5, I would. I know you don't like those, but I would say it's between an 8 and a 9 for me.
Yeah, you know, it's not even worth saying, Greg. You know that I don't like 0.5, so you don't even need to say it.
You know, if I could do a 0.5... All right, well, what do you want to give it, Ben? I know that you haven't had a chance to play it, but you
no,
watched it.
No, just watch it. I would say an 8, because it seems like you've also had sometimes difficulty with the gameplay, like sometimes you get really
certain maneuvers
angry.
Or
yeah
I guess, well, not like Prince of Persia though, good lord.
No.
All right, well, I'm willing to give it an 8. As I say, it's kind of in between an 8 and 9, but that's fine. I'm willing to give it an 8. Excellent game, worth checking out. And by the way, it's been out long enough now that you should be able to find one used, which is what I did.
Right.
And if you get it used, or if you get it through GameTap, which is something that we reviewed several, you know, some weeks ago when our friend Steve
months
was on
ago.
That's the case. Oh, and I forgot to mention that, by the way, congratulations to Steve and Maureen, who have had
last
did
time.
I mention that? Okay,
yeah.
Well, if I did, then, you know, congratulations again. I just remembered it, Steve, because I was thinking about you when you did this episode. So congratulations if I didn't mention it. I would strongly suggest you get it because it's worth doing and it's an excellent game. So, okay, last on the docket is a city that Clea doesn't really know a whole lot about, but she'll do the best she can to keep up. And this one is Seattle. And you can find this http://www.seattle.gov. Seattle, sweet Seattle, where Clea grew up. What do you want to say about your home city, huh?
Well, Seattle's named after a Native American chief, Chief Seattle. And it's the Emerald City of the West Coast. Whenever anyone says that they are going to Seattle or are moving to Seattle, usually, like, I needs to be a dialogue so I can kind of know, like, what your desires are, what your likes and dislikes. So I'll just give a review, but I encourage you, if you want to email us more specific questions, I can answer them for you.
Although we're not going to review them. We'll just, you know.
We won't review every specific question.
I give this question a 6 out of 10. What about the salmon? I give that question a 9 out of...
So Seattle is in the West Coast, for those of you who don't know. It's in
Washington
State.
This is Washington State, not Washington, D.C.
And it pisses Washingtonians off when you say... When I say I'm from Washington and you say D.C. and I say, no, I'm from Washington, not from D.C.
Punk. And then normally there's a fight.
Because when you say you're from Illinois, you don't have to say Illinois State. So I don't appreciate having to say Washington State.
In fairness, that's because there is no Illinois District of Columbia, my dear.
No, but you could say D.C. You don't have to say Washington. People don't say Washington. When they're from D.C.,
Team is the Washington Nationals, the Washington Redskins.
So they're the problem.
Yeah, they don't say the D.C. Redskins.
So that's the problem. Yeah. They need to change that.
It's because they would sound more like rappers.
So it's a few things that you'll realize when you move to Washington. You realize that it's not... what do people say?
Oregon?
No, they say Oregon.
All right, it's Oregon.
It's Oregon. And
Oregon.
Some people claim that we say Washington, but I don't. I think you have to be like an older native to say Washington. You say Washington.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different way of life. Although it's quickly becoming a metropolis. And so it's quickly becoming like any major city, unfortunately.
So this is really your fault, Mike. Thanks a lot for moving out there and making it into...
Well, there was a time period, I think, back when I was in high school where there's this big... exodus from California, where people moved into Seattle, and there was this big uproar in Seattle. And unfortunately, it just doesn't speak very kindly of my kindred, but there were death threats. There were like people being really mean to these Californians, saying Californians go home. And there are people that actually like then sold their houses and left because they just like they couldn't live there.
Really?
Yeah, it happened in like the 90s. But anyway, that's a different place now, so that shouldn't be the case.
No wonder it was the birth of grunge. You guys were so bitter. You're like, this music's great. More dirty down-home.
But speaking of
music.
Grunge, Seattle, my mother-in-law has this joke with me where she talks about everything's from Seattle. And of course, that's not true, but a lot of things do seem to come from Seattle.
It's
like
true.
She'll order something online and she'll get the box and find that it was made in Seattle. Or she'll see some chef on television and realize that he's from a Seattle restaurant.
Yep.
And it's quite a creative bed, actually. And we do have just all sorts of arts, all sorts of sports, obviously not necessarily lots of great sports.
Oh, goodness. Bite my tongue.
But it's quite a vivid and beautiful place. But again, as I was saying, it's become quite a metropolis, so it's growing. And the way it's growing is kind of like Seattle is just enveloping all the surrounding towns. So it's becoming a huge area that's called Seattle, the city of Seattle.
I think you should talk about that.
But they have different Seattle towns within this town of Seattle.
I think you should talk about that a little bit, because when I first went out there, it reminded me somewhat of Boston, because Boston itself, you know, what is actually Boston is not that large compared to the surrounding.
I think
Boston
is Brookline
and Somerville.
Like any metropolis, I'm sure that
no,
it's
but
the
New
same
York
as
is
in
not
Europe.
Like that, though. I mean, New York has different boroughs, but New York didn't encompass all of those things, whereas Seattle really, I think, adopts a lot of suburban areas. Like, even you yourself, right? You grew up in, you know, you didn't grow up right in the middle of Seattle. I mean,
I grew in Seattle.
Well, but Lake Forest Park, you were there for a while. I mean, like, the point is there were, I mean, your
no,
dad's
that's
in,
where
your,
my dad lives now.
Your dad lives in Lake Forest Park now, which is not in the middle of Seattle. But if somebody asks him, he's not going to say Lake Forest Park, right? He's going to say Seattle.
Yeah, no, I guess that's true. But I would say there's probably a lot of European cities that have kind of, I mean, I'm sure probably Paris is like that. London is like that, where it's
incorporated
London,
these things, maybe.
But then there's smaller towns within that that used to be, separate towns.
Okay.
It's growing, and what it is if you look at Washington State, it's kind of like a square with a little arm or a little foot on one side. And if you really go in close to the coast, which is on the left-hand side, right near the Pacific Ocean, there's a little inlet, a little peninsula. And so Seattle's kind of that little bit of peninsula, which is in between the Puget Sound, which flows into the Pacific Ocean, and Lake Washington. So it's in between those two bodies of water. And so it's, when you have a city like that, it's kind of has its own feel, because it's tied into the land, it's tied into water, and it comes out of water. And so it just gives the city a unique feel to it. It also is quite hilly. Most people don't realize that.
I had no idea till I got out there. I didn't even think of it, and yet it is very hilly. Yeah,
it's quite hilly, and then you know, just it's just west of the Cascades, so you can be. You can be in
the mountain range.
In the mountain range in a matter of an hour or two. So so that's kind of the lay of the land, and it's got lots of arts and lots of different kind of
communities. Well, you should talk about a couple of the
flavors.
I was going to say a couple of the major things in Seattle. I mean, some of the ones people will know is, as far as landmarks, you have the Space Needle, which is was built for the World's Fair, and which has that sort of a rotating restaurant on the top where we have eaten
it's
before.
It's in the center of the Seattle Center that was created for the World's Fair and now continues. It has... some theaters on it. It has a skating rink at different times, a swimming pool.
Key Arena, which is where the Seattle Supersonics
play. The Key Arena.
For the
moment. Then it has a museum, a few different museums on it. So it's a pretty huge center. It's one of the... It has the Experience Music Museum, which is...
Is that right in that center?
That's all within that center. So there's a number of museums.
Dan, the Music Experience, by the way, was built by Paul Allen, who's the co-founder of Microsoft, which is located out near there. And so it's this whole big music thing. It's got the biggest soundstage in the world.
Museum, and then they decided to make it more global. And going into Seattle Center is the one and only little legs of the monorail.
She said one.
There were talks on and off over the last 50 years of making the monorail, which is a above ground kind of subway line, making that all over the city. But it just is not fiscally a good idea. So they've just the last couple of years ago, have finally
decided
let
not
that
to
go.
Do it. Then
but that goes in right through the Seattle Center.
Yeah. You've got that. You've got the Safeco Field, which is a fairly new baseball field built for the Mariners, which is notable because it has a roof, but it's not a fully enclosed roof. It's a roof which can basically slide over the field and then slide back out, which gives it a very unique sense. And the one thing about Seattle weather-wise, when I went out there and visited, it feels fresh. The air
is
fresh out there.
The weather pattern comes down from Alaska, Alaska Pikeway, and then takes all our smog and pushes it into Glacier National Park east of us.
Right. Instead, what you get in compensation for that is rain. And there is a lot of rain in Seattle. It drizzles a lot. Although when I first came there, I thought it was a lie to keep East Coasters out because the first couple of times there was beautiful and sunny.
It rains, it can rain for a long period of time. It's not like Florida where you'll get rain, just wait a second and then it will be over. But it's in some instances the rain that gets you, but it's really not the rain that gets most people. What it is, it's overcast. Like those of you in England, you know what we're talking about, in Scotland, Ireland, the sky is white and white and gray, and that it can be overcast for up to 300 days of the year.
And in fact, it doesn't pour much, right? It when it rains, it'll rain, but
it can pour.
I mean, it can, but it's not like it's thunderstorming all the time, though.
It can rain for weeks.
Okay, well, all right. See, this is what people who grew up in Seattle are like, no, it could rain all the time, you know, and I'm always like, okay. The other thing about Seattle, besides the music scene, we mentioned this before, this is where a tremendous amount of great independent music came from. Pearl Jam got their start there, Nirvana got their start there, a lot of very famous bands, and of course, obviously, Jimi Hendrix, the most famous. And I've actually visited, Clea took me to see his grave, and also Bruce Lee is buried there, and Bruce Lee's son, Brandon, which was a powerful experience for me, because it was not something I expected. And the fact that you walk, there are still flowers on the grave.
Yeah,
so it attracted a lot of different people there.
His partner still takes private tutors.
Bruce Lee's partner, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't charge them, but you have to. He doesn't just take anyone. And so he regularly tends his grave.
So there's that. There's the music scene. There's the sports scene. We already mentioned it's a very good sports town.
Again, it's very tied
computer
into nature.
Techie.
So there's,
it's very
well,
techie.
Obviously... It's techie. It's up from California, but also it was the home of Boeing, it was the home of Microsoft. So there was a lot of technology
and
there.
The home of what other company, Clea?
It's also the home of Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Starbucks. That's right.
It's a home of a lot of startup internet companies, actually, as well. That happened in Seattle as well as
in fact, our phone number, which you people should
California.
Be calling all the time, is out of Seattle.
Yes. I mean, just a lot of things that will crop up. You know, look around your house. You'll see probably at least five things that are from Seattle. You'll be surprised. And then you'll say,
yes.
Clea is right.
Everything is from Seattle. So what do you want to say as far as what you would rate your beloved city?
Well, we didn't talk about all the sites.
Oh, okay.
You didn't talk about the Pike Place Market.
Oh, that's true. Well, there's the Pike Place Market.
Fresh goods.
And that's also where the guys throw fish.
Yes.
Yep. You may have seen that on TV somewhere.
Which is a huge corporate thing now, of course, because corporations can turn anything into, you know, a moneymaker.
Yes.
Some business people saw that and saw, oh, we can make a whole business philosophy out of these people that took a fish market, which you'd think would be nasty and smelly and an awful job, but they seem to have fun with it. So we should take this and create a whole business model, which is called Fish. You can, you know, you can buy the button and buy the book if you want to from Amazon.
Right. So there's that.
There's the San Juan Islands, which are just off the coast of Seattle, where you can, you know, kayak, bike, you can kayak along seals and and porpoise. And then you can, Seattle has become a huge site for going there to start your cruise up to Alaska. It's become a huge thing over the last 5 years.
In fact, did you hear that there was a cruise ship, a paddle wheel ship that ran aground? I mean, people are okay, but they had to transfer people off it. And I think it originated in Seattle. It was the last paddle wheel cruise
ship operating.
That happens
a lot. There are ferries that go from Seattle to the islands and to some of the... There are people that commute to Seattle from some of the islands, so it's kind of like Staten Island in that way, but a lot more ferries because there's a lot more islands.
Mm-hmm.
So there's occasion where, you know, a ferry will ram into the pier or something like that. It doesn't happen a lot, but, you know, that kind of stuff can happen. So that was just some other things I thought I'd say about Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Good, fresh fish.
Yes.
Go down
salmon,
to Pike Place
like
Market and get like a big pound of king crab meat.
When I first went there, I thought it was basically a food trip.
Well, that's
this was clear. Like, and then here is the Greek salad I liked. And I used to have a shake when I was a kid here. And then I would go and have some Alberto sausage here. And then I would go and it was wonderful. It was like, and then we get dim sum here. And then it's just like appetite fading.
Well, this, you know, when you're a kid, you're a kid raised by my parents.
It was all at different times. It's just you fit it into 2 weeks. You're like, now every food like thing.
When you go down memory lane, you go down memory food lane.
And boy, did we.
Oh, there's certain rappers that came from Seattle, too. I'm trying to remember that rap song is that talks about dicks. My homies on Broadway. My homies on Broadway. They're from Seattle.
Okay.
They talk about picking up some chicks at Dick's and driving down Broadway.
I just...
Dick's is where you go to get really good French fries. And
then Kid Valley, good burgers.
Kid Valley has good burgers. Anyway,
yeah.
And we're getting down food again.
Yeah, see? Now you know where I was.
It was pretty painful. Like there was one day where we had gotten breakfast with like my dad, and then we were out sightseeing, so we got lunch, and then we went to my mother's because I thought we would just be hanging out with my mother. She's like, "All right, you guys ready for dinner?" We're like, "Oh," because my parents are all about food. That's what they just have to, you know, whatever we're gonna do. We're like, "Okay, but what are we gonna eat?
Yep.
Where are we gonna go?
Yep.
To eat?"
Yep. But it's all right, you know. I mean,
and Washington, there are certain areas in Washington where they are on the same line. What's that, longitudinal line or something with France.
Okay.
So there are people that believe that Washington state wine is quite good for the more connoisseur, you know, hoity-toity types.
Walla Walla, it's up and coming.
They're famous for their onions, their Walla Walla onions.
Right. Okay. So a rating. And for more from the Seattle
Travel
Agency.
Okay, so it's gotten really clustered. Lots of people driving, and the traffic has gotten really bad.
Yes, rating.
So that's a problem.
Rating.
Why do I have to go?
Because it's your city.
Oh, I'd say 7.
Really? I would have thought you would have given it higher than that.
That's why I was just trying to explain the thing. You just cut me off. That it started to get really big. It started to get expensive.
So
and
is
it started,
it's an 8 trending down to a 7?
No, it's a 7.
Okay. Trending down to a 6.
It's got a lot of great aspects to it. I mean, it really is quite wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
If I could live there 2 months out of the year, I'd go there April, May, when all of the flowering trees are out. Go to University of Washington, what's called UW there. They have a whole cherry tree quad.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous.
And then you get the heck out of Dodge before it starts to rain more. But yeah, I see. All right, well, I'll go along with that. I think I like Seattle a lot. I certainly enjoyed it there. And as I say, there's a kind of freshness to it that I really enjoyed. The other thing, too, is that as an East Coaster, when you go there and you're just surrounded by the mountains, you know, the impact of the mountains. And I know that that's not just Seattle. I know that's a lot of Western cities. But
yeah,
for me, having Mount Rainier, this huge mountain there, and just there's a great deal of beauty to it. So especially if you're at all outdoorsy, it's another thing which is very good for that. So it's got a lot to offer a lot of people. It's techie, it's outdoorsy, it's cultured. There's a lot of good stuff
going on. Just know if it's really overcast and foggy, you might not see the mountains.
Right.
They're there, you just won't see them.
They promise. They're still there. All right. So 7 out of 10 for Seattle. Hope that helps, Mike. Please let us know and you know how things go when you get there.
Okay.
All right. So that's going to do it for us for this week. Again, the next time we report to you, it will be either from or, you know, using footage of or after Norway. And so, you know, if you know any good spots for us to check out, or you have to, like, please review this in Oslo, this place, you know, or something. We'll try to do our best.
Because we're only going to be in Oslo for 2.5 days.
It's 2.5. Klee's got it set. And then we'll be on the train for 0.36 days. So please make sure you let us know. And otherwise, continue to have a good week. Hope everyone is doing well. And we will talk to you guys next week. Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Klee.
See ya. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!